Well, as Brother Steve just sang, brothers and sisters, let's pull our chairs up to the table. Amen. And let's sit for a little while and feast with our Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn with me to the 30th verse of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. As we were singing just a minute ago, you know the difference when you begin to get your song back? I believe the church was starting to get their song back a few minutes ago as we were singing those songs of worship to the Lord. The question that I have for you this morning as we begin this passage of Scripture is, are you empty because you are full? Or are you full because you are empty? I realize you're going to have to think about that one just for a minute. So I'm going to say it again. Are you empty because you are full? Or are you full because you are empty? Do you know there are many that we often are tired and hungry, and our lives are filled with so many other things, and our lives look like they're really filled up, but there's many times we are very empty on spiritual things. I need to have a better philosophy of staying near to the Lord. If I were to, I don't know how you handle keeping your car full of gas or fuel. But for some reason, I don't know if it's because of the amount of money that mom and dad had or whatever, but they would often, when they drove their cars, they would, every time it got down to 3/4 of a tank, they were putting in $5 or $10. They were always keeping it up there close to full. Whereas I have had the tendency of, I fill it up and then I let it run all the way down to about 1/4 of a tank. And there's sometimes I get down to even where that light gets on. And how many times when you get to that light that you start speeding up a little bit because you think, I'm not going to make it to the gas station. Or you start getting very anxious because everybody is in my way and you don't know where I've got to go, what I've got to do. And I mean, your life is just a wreck. And you don't know what to expect. You might be stranded on the side of the road. You know, there's some people who operate their spiritual life that way. I'm going to get filled up in an emotional experience at church on Sunday morning, and then I'm going to go all the way to empty until next Sunday. I tell you, you need to make sure you're topping off a little bit on Monday, a little bit on Tuesday, a little bit on Wednesday. I'll tell you, it's so much better to stay full in the things of the Lord than to come into the house of the Lord on Sunday and say, Lord, I need to be filled up, but I don't go back to Him anytime the rest of the week. And so, are you empty because you are full, or are you full because you're empty? Do you know that when we're empty spiritually, the Word of God is often sitting on the shelf like a stale loaf of bread? People become great problems in our lives instead of opportunities to minister. Life becomes annoying. The world becomes glamorous and appealing. The lustful appeal of sin looks like it tastes better than the Lord and His goodness. Your heart begins to wander after other things that seem to satisfy for a temporary moment. We can throw ourselves into work. You can throw yourself into shopping. You can throw yourself into unhealthy relationships. Because if we're not getting from God what we need to be getting from Him, we'll turn to somebody else that we can touch and see to be able to fill that void in our lives. And it can be very unhealthy. We might turn to food, to money, to sex, or other pleasures that can be distorted when God is not in the center. So it's very important that we stay full on spiritual things. Because you can be empty and still be full. As we look at this passage this morning in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, The overarching point of this is that you and I need to know that we must be dependent on the Lord at all times. It's so easy for us sometimes to slip into this attitude of the man in Luke's gospel who said this, Luke chapter 12, verse 19, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He had a life of ease. It was filled with all the temporary pleasures. He had enough to last him for several years. But the Lord came back and said, thou fool, do you know that your life is going to be required of you this night and this? What are all those material things that you have? Who are they going to be left to? And here's what the Lord said, so is he that lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. As we look at this passage, the title this morning is going to be Tired, Hungry, and a Little Boy's Lunch. Tired, Hungry, and a Little Boy's Lunch. Let's read this passage of Scripture and sit at the table with the Lord this morning. It says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give you them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, or satisfied is what that word means. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Matthew's gospel says, not counting women and children. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, the title this morning is Tired, Hungry, and a Little Boy's Lunch. We will consider in this passage the first point, refueling in ministry. Jesus recognized that his disciples were tired in the ministry. They had just come back from a mission trip. They were tired, and he was going to take them away for a little while to get some rest. And then we'll turn to see the hunger of humanity. I hope you caught a glimpse of Jesus. He said, I looked out among the crowd and he was moved with compassion. He said, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. You know, there are many that are wandering all around us, lost, wandering, going from place to place, looking for a fill up, looking for something to feed their hungering souls. And I'll tell you, the appetites of humanity, the hunger of humanity, it is insatiable. I mean, it will not be filled up by all the things of the world. The eye is never full of seeing. The ear is never full of hearing. And I'll tell you, a heart that has the capacity to worship, that how God has made us. He has made every one of us with the capacity to worship, and we will either worship the true and the living God, or we will bow down to idols, and our decree will be, I want more and more and more and more, and we will never be satisfied on the things of the world. But in the Lord, there's satisfaction. And there's a creation of a yearning to want more and more of Him because of how well He satisfies our longing heart. And the last part I want us to see in this passage this morning is the all-satisfying power of Jesus. And in these groups this morning, we're going to see some disciples that are tired. We're going to see in this passage this morning a crowd that Jesus has been teaching. And we'll dig in that just a little bit more in a minute. But He's been teaching them. They're hungry. So we got tired disciples. We've got hungry people. How do you get when you're hungry? We might find out about 12. And then we'll see John's Gospel tells us that a little boy had a little lunch that his mama thought ahead of and gave him. Because everybody was running to... They beat Jesus across the shore. They were running. There's something about Jesus that we've got to hear. And this little boy had a lunch of 5 loaves of bread. And it wasn't big like our loaf of bread. It was a small piece of loaf. And 2 fish. Inadequate supplies from our standards. So let's look at this. Refueling in ministry. As we look at this passage, we see here that the disciples had just come back and Jesus had been teaching them. He had told them He had been rejected there in Nazareth and His own people. He came into His own. His own received Him not. But there were some that did receive Him. And the apostles, as He sent them out 2 by 2. So 6 teams, 6 mission, 6 missionary trips in a sense were organized by Jesus to go out into Galilee and to preach the gospel. And so imagine disciples, they're coming back and they're telling Jesus, hey, we went out there and we preached the gospel and this is what we saw and this is what happened and these are things we taught and this was reaction. And one of the reactions of the disciples at one point was, hey, Jesus, as we go out there and preach this message, the devils are subject unto us. And He told them, hey, don't. The gospel has power. It has power to change lives. He said, don't you get so excited that the devils are subject unto you. But He said, I want you to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I want you to rejoice that the gospel has done a powerful work in your life and your names are recorded in heaven. He said, do you just keep preaching that gospel? Because if God can do that for you, He can do that for anybody else. And so they've come back. I can imagine their excitement, their exhaustion. They have gone from town to town preaching the gospel. Some accepted them, some rejected them. Some of the places, no doubt, they had to dust the sand off their sandals as a testimony of they were rejected in these places. But they came back and they're telling Jesus. And Jesus recognizes that there are times that we just need rest. He says here that, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. You're basically a private place. Jesus wants him to get to a place that's lonely, quiet, a private place, solitary place. And this is a pattern in the life of Jesus. Especially if you're going to be in ministry, that you've got to have some times. And I'm not talking about ministry just vocationally. I'm talking about in your homes. You need to have some time where you can slip away, whether it's early morning, late at night or something, where you can just get alone with the Lord. You need that in your life to be able to spend that time with Him. And Jesus, no doubt, He understood the physical needs. And some of the most spiritual things that you might do in your life, you might need to just get some more sleep. Now, I'm not telling you to sleep until noon or anything like that, but the Lord understands, the Lord knows those that are His, and He gives unto His beloved rest. You might have to say no to some things in order to get proper rest. The National Lung, Heart, and Blood Institute recommends 7 to 8 hours of sleep, including the elderly, is what they said. And it says that school-age children should get about 10 hours of sleep at night. Teenagers, 9 to 10. The National Sleep Foundation recommends a 7 to 9. So somewhere in there it says, this is just part of everyday life. You can't continue to run and run and run and run. You've got to be able to get proper rest. And sometimes one of the most spiritual things that you can do is to go to bed early. And to wake up and ask the Lord, refresh me with this sleep that you provide for me. And so, but on a spiritual side, the rest of the disciples need ministry as battle. They needed to step away just for a little while. And Jesus said, hey, let's get away just for a little while and find some rest. And notice something in this too that blessed me. These disciples had been overworked. They perhaps were coming and going. It said that their leisure time was taken up to the degree that they didn't even have time to eat. So they were busy in the ministry. Now, on the flip side of that, let me talk about our time for a minute. Because sometimes we have so much leisure time that we're not busy on the things of the Lord. It can get us in trouble. We can become very lazy and very sluggish and be like the sloth. That if we're not thinking about our time and how we're using it, that the Lord ordains and He desires for us to get proper rest. He set a day aside for us to push away the cares of the world, to rest and worship Him and honor Him. But we don't need to take that to the other extreme and say, well, I just got to rest all the time. We've got to have balance. But the disciples, they didn't have any time, leisure time to eat. And so Jesus says, let's come away. And notice this. You know, a lot of times when we want rest, we say, I just want to be by myself. How many of you have been like that? I just want to be by myself. Something that struck me was Jesus took 12 other men with Him and they got away from the crowds to rest. And I thought, a lot of times in the back of my mind, I want to get away from a lot of things and just be by myself. And there's a time and a need for that, to be able to clear our heads and get into the Word of God alone, because somebody else can't get in the Word for you. You've got to have that time yourself with the Lord. But these 13 men, they got away. And they were living life together. There was rest in the fellowship. Isn't it wonderful to be come in here this morning and everything going on in your week last week, and you get to come in here this morning and see your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Isn't it refreshing? Isn't this time of living life together? And I'll tell you, we need to have more of this, of learning to live our life together as disciples of the Lord. Because if He has brought you to this place, He has called us to live life together. That means that the things that concern you and your life should concern me, and the things that are going on in my life should concern you. We should learn to love one another like we should and pray for one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because we have one Father who is over all of us. And so how can I practically to get away? I'll say this can be done by valuing the Word of God and reading, meditating, and applying it each day. Are you like the newborn babes that Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word? Are you getting that proper nourishment for yourself? I can't do it as your pastor. And here's what it looks like sometimes when the only person you depend upon for spiritual nourishment is your pastor. It looks like I become a life support system for you. And who are we really connected to? We're connected to Jesus. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He is the one that needs to be there providing that spiritual nourishment for you on a daily basis. And as you get into the Word of God, you study it on a daily basis, you allow that nourishment to dwell in you richly. When you come into the house of the Lord, you won't come with an empty tank in a sense. You'll be saying, Lord, I've come to worship You in spirit and in truth. And when I hear my pastor preach the truth, it's amen, amen, because I've been reading that in the Word this week. And Lord, thank You for speaking to me this week, and thank You for reiterating that on Sunday morning. Thank You for filling me up and feeding me and letting me know that You are my great shepherd. And so we can fuel ourselves by reading it daily. I'll say that you need to do this by attending church regularly. You cannot be a faithful Christian and fail to attend the local church. You cannot do it. The Lord has ordained these means of grace in our lives through the local church. You can listen to sermon on internet. You can listen to stuff on TV, but it will not replace what goes on. And as we gather together under the headship of Christ, the Lord of this church, and there's something that happens as we gather together in the name of the Lord and we call out on His name, just like Seth did back in the days of old. He said, "Then began people to call on the name of the Lord." It refreshes us. Sometimes we need to get away with a few good godly friends and just get away and refresh and talk. And that could even be having lunch with a brother or sister, a good godly brother or sister, and have lunch with them and say, hey, and be transparent. This is where I'm at. There are some refreshing things the Lord has allowed and provided for us that we need to be refueled. And ultimately, I want you to know the Lord knows what you need. And let me remind you this too. He knows what you need much better than you know what you need. Sometimes we think, well, I just need a vacation. When in reality, what the Lord really needs is you need to have one of those mornings when you get on your knees and you cry out to the Lord and you pour out your heart to God about all these things that are causing you to be anxious and having these anxious thoughts, and you know you get in touch with the Lord and you say, Lord, You're my rest. Because as we look at the disciples and we see their need to refuel in ministry, Jesus said, let's get away, but there's a roadblock. As Jesus gets in the boat, we see that this human need will never go away. There's enough ministry to do now until our last breath. It's just going to be ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. And the disciples have in their mind that, Lord, we're going to get away. We're going to get to a private place. Nobody's going to bother us. We're going to sit under Your teaching and You feed us. But, uh-oh. And you've been here, where it seems like somebody gets in the way of your plans. Like, this is not right. Lord, I had this plan. I was going to spend time with You. And do you know that we've got to be very careful? Because even rest can become an idol in our lives. It can become an idol in our lives that I want that escape. I want that refuge. If anybody dares come in between me and that, I'm going to unleash the anger and resentment that who are you to stand in my way? But Jesus knew what the disciples needed, and so this hunger of humanity, they recognize Him getting in the boat. They have gotten in the boat. The disciples are going to the other side. They're prepared in their mind that we want a quiet place. Leave us alone. We've been ministering enough. We've seen enough people for a little while. They're running around the lake. As soon as Jesus gets out of the boat on the other side, there is a crowd already there. Now, I'm trying to give an honest assessment of what might be going on in the disciples' hearts. And I can think, probably like you think sometimes, Lord, I've seen enough people today. I've already given all I've got. That's all I got. Jesus, will You please just tell them to go away and leave us alone for a little while? Because let them come back tomorrow. Let them come back next week. Tell them that we just need a break. Do you ever get that way in your job? You ever get that way throughout your week? I just need a break. Leave me alone. And people become obstacles to what we want instead of opportunities to what God wants to do in and through us. Let me say that again. People can become obstacles to what we want instead of opportunities for God to minister and work through us. So think about that. Because we all deal with people every day and they're either an obstacle or an opportunity to you. If we have a view of the Lord, then okay, they might show up unexpectedly, something may happen. And there are times where people have to realize that I've got a boundary, I've got to be here, I've got to do that. But we need to be sensitive to the things of the Lord on a daily basis. That is this person an obstacle just because I want what I want? And if they're an obstacle, then that means that they're going to cause anger in you, they're going to cause anxiety in you because you're not getting what you want. And they're standing in the way. And notice once again, the view is just me. And so this hunger of humanity, as Jesus sees this crowd, He doesn't say, disciples, go disperse them. Tell them, I saw. They've made an effort. They've ran across around this lake. We rode across it. So the only peace and quiet they had was that little bitty stint between getting in the boat, going across the sea. Now they're on the other side. Do you think Jesus says, I'm tired of people? No. This should be something that moves our heart this morning. This should be something that recalls what David said in Psalm 23 and 1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. As Jesus sees this hungering crowd of humanity gathered there, it says that His heart is moved with compassion. He has deep empathy and pity for these. He says as He looks out upon the crowd, this is a physically healthy crowd. But many of them are spiritually dead. I'm all for working out. I try to work out as much as I can whenever I can fit it in. But physical health is not going to get me to heaven. There are many who are devoting their Sundays for rest and refreshment for physical health. To get on the bike, to get on a boat, to go do something, but that won't get me to heaven. Jesus saw this crowd who were physically healthy to some degree. They weren't the sick ones. It doesn't say they drugged the ones that were on the bed. It said they ran on foot and they got to the other side. The disciples on the other side, they're a little tired and they're exhausted. But here's the wonderful thing about the Lord. He knows what both groups need. He knows what everybody in this church house needs. Whatever you came from this week, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going, He knows exactly what you need this morning. Hallelujah that He is a God that is all-knowing. He not only knows what I did last week, but He knows the deep recesses of my heart. He's moved with compassion. But where are we going to run? Are we going to go to Him or go to other things? Jesus sees this opportunity and He sees this spiritually hungry crowd. They're like a sheep without a shepherd. They need to be fed. They need to be led. They need to be protected. They need to be cared for. Jesus is moved because He's the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. It's a wonderful thing to be in line with the Lord this morning, to know that He is the great shepherd. He's the one that is leading our lives. He's the one that's feeding us from His good word. He's the one that protects us. Do you know that as Satan desires to sift us as wheat from time to time? But I'll tell you, we have a great shepherd who has a rod and a staff to be able to protect us. And there's nothing that can't come in and out of our lives that did not get through His hands first. He protects us and He cares for our soul. And it says that Jesus, knowing what they need, what does He do? in the passage says that Jesus seized this opportunity and He taught them. I wonder what He taught. I'm going to give you an idea. I believe He taught them about the destruction of sin. These people were wandering. They were lost. They had no real guidance in life. No true knowledge about life. And I believe He said to them what He said similar in the Sermon on the Mount. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads into life. And few there be that find it. I believe Jesus taught them about the destruction of sin. That if we allow sin to rule and reign in our lives and we follow the things of the world, we'll be on that broad road that leads to destruction. I believe He also taught them about the deceitfulness of sin. In Matthew 13 and 22, it says, He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. There are those who may hear the word, but the deceitfulness of sin, the lust for the things of the world, they take you in, and it's like that fisherman that goes out there and he puts the worm on the hook and the fish. All he sees is the worm. And he goes after it and he gets his mouth wrapped around that worm. That's something that was luscious. That's something that was alluring to the eyes. That was something that pulled me away. That would bring satisfaction. But I'll tell you, Satan loves to set us up with sin. Something that's outside the will of God. That looks good. That looks attractive. That looks appeasing. But let me remind you, there's a hook in there. There's a sting. And there's always a consequence for sin. I believe Jesus told them about the deadliness of sin. That the wages of sin, it is death. It causes sin, causes the wrath of God to abide upon you. It says in John 3 and 36, He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. You know that sin causes God's wrath. He must, as holy God, He must punish sin. Do you know that sin is going to lead you to the grave? It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. If you have repented of your sins and put faith in Jesus, thank God for eternal life that He has given you. But for those who fail to do so, unconfessed and unforgiven sin will send a person to a devil's hell. It says in Matthew 25 and 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. That's so dark you probably can't even see your hand. Into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unconfessed sin, unforgiven sin will lead a soul to hell this morning. It will lead a soul to burn in unquenchable fire. You may say, preacher, that is too much for me to handle. I'll tell you that. It's what Jesus said. He said there is punishment and consequence for sin. A holy God, in order to maintain His holiness and justice, must pour out His wrath against sin. I believe Jesus taught that hungry crowd out there something about that. But I believe He also preached to them repentance. It says there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe He would tell them, if you will turn from your sinful ways. And you might say, preacher, I don't have that much sin in my life. I'll tell you, your desire to live your life apart from God and His grace, it is a gross sin and crime in the eyes of God. To rebel against Him and say, I don't really need you, is to be filled with such pride and self-righteousness that I must be good in and of myself. But the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. There are none righteous. There are none who have sought after God. The way of peace they have not known. I believe He taught them about repentance. This morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, I encourage you to turn to Him today. Turn away from your sin. Turn to Him in faith. And we see that this requires a trusting that this is the only way of salvation. Jesus said, no man can come unto Me. Let me read this so I don't mess it up. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come to Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. You must be drawn by the Father. You must be called out from this. You must put your full trust and faith that Jesus alone can save you from your sin. You should be afraid to go to hell. We sang a song about the hell-bound man a little bit ago. But you need to be more concerned about your sin that resides in your own heart. Because that is what will lead you there. So Jesus preaches to them. He gives them the gospel. He gives them the message of the kingdom. That you can enter in, but you must repent. Now, it gets later on in the day and the disciples come back and say, Jesus, You've been teaching long enough. You've got to send these people away. They're getting hungry. See, the disciples are tired. The crowd's hungry. They were hungry spiritually. They're yearning for something, but now they're hungry physically. Can you imagine 5,000 men? I know what it's like to have 4 men in a house that gets hungry all at the same time. That can get dangerous enough. But I can't imagine 5,000 men that hasn't had supper. And I don't know if they skipped lunch. Because this little boy apparently skipped lunch because he had some left over later into the day. So they may have skipped lunch because they may have been so mesmerized by him. It's gotten to the end of the day. The disciples saying, Jesus, You've got to send them back. Jesus says, You give them something to eat. Do you know that sacrifice is not really sacrifice until you really seem to run out of your own resources and you give what you have out of something that you kind of need? I don't know if I explained that right, but sacrifice is when you do not think you have anything else to give. But you give what you have and realize that it's enough in the hands of the Lord's. They got to a point of, we don't have anything else to give. And some of them got to calculate, hey, there's 5,000 men. It's going to take 200 penny worth or 200 denarii worth of bread, which would be 8 months' salary, 200 days' wages, to feed this large crowd. Who's going to pick up that ticket? I always loved it when Granddaddy picked up the ticket. He always seemed to have, he had more than enough. You grandfathers in here, I see y'all bumping each other. He's always seemed to got more than enough. Get that filet mignon or that big meal, whatever you want. Because it's on Grandpa today. Jesus said, give them something to eat. The disciples said, we don't have much. He said, go and see what you got. He said, go check it out. And they come back and they report, according to John's Gospel, that a little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fish. Think about this for a minute. The disciples, they were tired. They needed to be refueled. The crowds were hungry and they needed to have spiritual life. And they needed to have some spiritual food. They needed to come to life. But they were also physically hungry. He knew what the disciples needed. He knew what the crowd needed. This is what really blessed my heart. He knew what that little boy needed. You know, there's some little boys in this room here today that need to see that if all they may have to give is a little lunch, that's all I can sacrifice. But little boys need to understand, little children, little girls need to understand that we need to be dependent upon the Lord. We all, no matter how old, how young, this little boy, as the disciples came and said, hey, all we found is this little boy's lunch. That little boy had to be willing to give up that lunch in order to give it into the hands of the disciples, to give it into the hands of the Lord and say, Lord, this is all I've got. I'm just a little boy. All I've got is a little lunch. But, oh, there is a great big God out here that can take care of all things. And whether you're young or whether you're old, I tell you, He took that little boy's lunch and they brought it to the disciples. And this is where we're going to get to the all-satisfying power of Jesus. We see here that this little boy's lunch, 5 loaves of bread. His mama had looked ahead down the road and said, son, I know you're traveling with all those people that are running on the other side of the sea. Son, you need a lunch to take with you. He probably grabbed it up and he was over there listening with these men and women and everybody else. And he got mesmerized and apparently he didn't eat. And he had this meal and he said, well, I've seen Jesus do some other things. I've heard some other. I'm going to give him my lunch. Here it is. Jesus takes those 5 loaves. Inadequacy. This was not enough. Do you know, as we look at as ourselves as Bethlehem Church, we look at the resources that we have and we see the commission that God has given this church to go to the world. And we compile everything that we have together. It's not enough. It's not enough. I didn't have enough to get saved. I had to come to a point of just complete inadequacy. I don't have enough. I don't have it. I don't even have it to give. Oh, but I know a provider today. I know one who can give more than enough. And it said, with these limited resources in His hands, I want you to imagine Jesus looking up into heaven. Father, this is all we've got. He's under the anointing of the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, with these hands of clay, says, Father, this is all we've got. Looking into heaven. And He blesses it. He blesses these resources. You know, when God blesses the smallest of things, they become big. Amen. Oh, how He put His blessing, His hand of approval. He blessed it there. And so God did that. The Father was there to provide those needs. It reminded me much like it was when Isaac was there and said to Abraham as they were going to Mount Moriah to worship, Father, we've got the wood and we've got the fire, but where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice going to come from? And Abraham knew in the back of his mind what God had called him to do, but he said, God shall provide Himself a lamb. And oh, I'll tell you, He's provided one. That is more than enough. Because as that bread was broken, which we could get a picture of Jesus, that broken body, and that shed blood on the cross. As those fish were broken, Jesus told them, even though ministry is messy, Jesus said, I want you to organize them all into 50s and 100s. Have them all sit down there on that green grass and that blue sky and that water reflecting. Can you just imagine the scene of this great shepherd of the sheep right there gathered together to feed his flock, and he's there taking care of them. Not all of them had put their faith and trust in him, but they were being fed physically. And I'll tell you, it was a picture of how He can feed us spiritually. And they began to hand out all those baskets to all those men. 5,000 of them. Little as much when God is in it. Amen. Disciples were tired. The crowds were hungry. And the little boy had a lunch. But we see the all-satisfying power of Jesus when these 5,000 men, along with women and children, perhaps a crowd of 15 to 20,000, they said they ate. And we know the difference when you, have you ever sat down at a meal and you know you're going to pay $10 or $15 for this meal and you're like, there's no way that's enough food to fill me up. You get angry? I know you've done that. I'm sure you have. You're saying, I can't believe they're in business because they didn't give me enough. In this case, Jesus said, I filled them up. I've satisfied 15 to 20,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not only did I do that, but there were 12 baskets left over. I believe the Lord taught those disciples a lesson that I'm more than enough. I'll give you enough for today, and I've got enough for you tomorrow to eat lunch. You know what else? You know that little boy ate too? He gave up his lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. Oh, but the glory of God that this little boy needs to see that, oh, if I just give just a little bit. Oh, I pray for my sons. I pray for the children of this church. Amen. That they will remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and they will see that He is worth walking with every step of the way. Amen. Because those tired disciples need to see that the Lord, oh, He's enough this morning. Oh, those hungry crowds need to say, oh, He can feed more than your stomach. He can feed your soul. And in His propitiation on the cross, oh, He can satisfy you. Oh, it's so good to have His peace. It's so good to be filled with the spiritual blessings of the Lord. And that little boy, he was able to see that, oh, if I just allow these resources, these blessings to pass through my hands, that God will take care of me too. And oh, what an influence that little boy had on that entire crowd. Oh, I pray that we will see our need for Jesus. And when we're tired and when we're hungry, that we'll run to Him. We'll be dependent upon Him. We'll be able to say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. If you're here today and your soul is parched and dry and you're dead in trespasses and sins, I pray that you'll come to Him. If you're here today and you're the Lord's, I pray that He gave you a little bit of manna today to get you along this week. But I pray you'll get some more of it tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday throughout this week so we can come together next Sunday morning and worship Him as we get a song and sing.